but they'd rent the school, not the auditorium, the gym, and they'd set table up in it. We'd have suppers, and they'd have door prizes. They'd call them door prizes. They'd call out the names. They'd use their card numbers. You punch in card numbers, and then they'd put them in a box and shake it up and have somebody draw them out then. And they started out with a certain, they had several prizes that they'd give away, different things. I know one time I got a fishing outfit, and another time I got a handsaw, and just several different times like that. And I think I got $20, I think, a couple times. They'd have a, Steve would get up there, then he'd have a, Steve White, and he'd have a handful of $20 bills, and maybe have like 100 and a couple of 50s, and certain names they'd draw out. If he was lucky, they'd start out with a 100 first, and then with a 50, then they'd go on down then to the 20s, and then 10s, and then 5s, and then have the other prize that way too. So they was pretty good at Christmas like that, and they paid for the Christmas dinners are separate. Didn't cost anything. But I think they, even though, as I said before, the wages for the furniture and textile was for this area was real low. Why they paid? I would say they paid about as much or more than the average furniture worker would paid. I mean, was paid here because Craptic and White was on the furniture at that time in Mebane, and we'd have our dinner, and everybody would dress up, and we'd go in dressed up in a suit and enjoy it. And same way when we headed down to Barn, it was the same way as Red Barn Hill was. But they had a few times at the plant after Hickory bought out, but They'd usually have a like a summer outing or something in the fall of the year. I know one time we went down to Burlington Park, and they had hot dogs and hamburgers and things like that, and you could go out there and play ball or anything you want to do in between times and things that way. But there's never no real elaborate meals like Whites had. They'd have a full course meal and we'd go. Had waiters that the school had furnished waiters. I mean, they were paid for it, but it was a school, high school kid that was served waiters as waiters and all. And I think everybody enjoyed it. They looked forward to it. And we used to have a good crowd for it. And some didn't go. Some probably was tied up somewhere or another, couldn't make it. But it was, I thought it was good. Just cleaned up and put on your Sunday clothes, and that's what it amounted to. And go and have a out, just like you want to take your wife out for dinner or something like that.
When why did the White family have to sell the company? You said that they were losing money, but
I think more or less was. A whole lot of it was, some of it was overstaffed with employees, and another one was that the employees that was being paid for a day's work, a lot of them wasn't doing a day's work. I think that there's probably some of them that I would be willing to say they didn't give 4 hours work out of 8 hours at the plant, because they were going from here to there, to the bathroom, the water fountain, looking out the window, the first one thing, another like that. In other words, it's where you had more people on the job than you really needed, then that way they didn't have to, some of them didn't have to stay busy all the time.
Was it also tough times for the furniture industry?
Well,
in the early 80s?
Yeah, things got sort of tough, and it. As they told us that they'd usually have a meeting at Christmas, and when they'd give us a bonus, and just have a speech and pay us off at Christmas time or whatever. That way, and they finally got down to give us a week's pay. They call it a week's vacation with pay, and
instead of the bonus.
For Christmas, And so they tell us then that we're pretty close to the top, and the only reason we up there is because of the good management, good labor, and people that were willing to work and to try to do the stuff as near right as good. And the only way we stay there is to continue the same thing. But they said it's a whole lot easier to go downhill than it was to climb up. Mm-hmm. So if we start making sorry stuff, we start sliding backwards fast. And I think that's what happened. It wasn't too much of the sorry stuff it was making. I think it was overstaffed, and we didn't have the production put out that we should have had for the workers that they had. In other words, it was taking money out of the till and paying somebody that wasn't putting in the day's work. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that eventually dwindled the profit, which would have been the profit.
Were there rumors before the actual sale took place that the White family was going to sell it?
Well, for a while, because it went probably for 6 months, something like that, maybe. I don't remember exactly when it was put up for sale, that the bids was turned in on it to see who would get it. So they knew it was, everybody knew it was up for sale, mm-hmm. according to that. But they didn't know who was going to get it. Whoever, when the bids was open, there was secret bids, and when they were open, whoever had the highest bid would be the new owner of it. And I don't know for sure, but I was told that there was actually only 3 bids put in on it. Hmm. And that's Steve, no, the Whites told me that. That was some of the, I just heard that from some of the workers afterwards. Mm-hmm. But they had been losing money though, and they've been running in the red. Some of them said maybe for the last couple of years or so.
You said earlier that when Hickory came in, that they fired 50 people in September. Did you notice other changes in the way that the plant was run, or after Hickory took over?
They didn't exactly fire them. What they just figured they didn't need them anymore. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it wasn't fired for lack of doing your job or something like that. It's just they just had went through the plant and seen the workforce, and if they had 4 people working there, and they figured 3 of them could do the job or should be doing the job, well, they just made note of that. And then going through the next one, they may have 30 people working in there, and it might be 4 or 5 of them that they figured they could do without. I mean, they were in the business, furniture business, and they knew what they could do and what they couldn't do. Then on top of that, then when they cut the force down, they turned around then, and some of White's machinery was pretty old machinery, but it was still doing, and they were still making money with it until it got that way. But Hickory pulled the old machinery out and started putting in either new or rebuilt machinery, secondhand, good machinery, and they upgraded the machine room tremendously to what it was when White had it. And so that gave them the opportunity to produce more furniture than White had, because they had joiners where they could run the lumber over it. They put it up on a belt where they used to have a man stand there and run it over the boards over the joiner, like where it's going to glue up boards to make tops and things out of it. They'd have a man stand there and run it over the joiner, and they'd have to stack it back on the truck, take it off of one joiner and put it back on another truck. So they had it set up with a chain thing in there where it would run through the joiner by chain and join it itself, and when it went up through on the other side, the thing would flip it and come back bottom side upwards and join it the other side. And that, just things like that, and they put conveyor belts in where Whites would load it, like out of the planer. They'd have a tail man there, and he would stack it on a truck. The feeder would take it off one truck, pay it in, and the shop truck. And so they lined the machinery up and put conveyor belts between them. The man stand there and feed it in the planer. One would cut it on the cutoff saw, and he had a belt. He'd just throw it on a belt, and he'd put it right on over to the man that joiner or a planer, and he the belt would put it right on in the planer and run it through out on the other end. Mm-hmm. Then it would go from there then through the joiner, and sometimes it'd go through two or three operations, wouldn't even be a man touch it. Hmm. Where they used to have a man at the front and back of all the machinery like that. And when they cut down like that, why they cut their hip tremendously in the employment. And that's where they make money. They pick back up. I think it said in the first year though they were in the black even in the first year operating it, because they did lay off 50 workers, and when you take 50 year salary like that, why that's a right good size of mm-hmm. money. Besides the new machinery they start putting in just a piece at a time, replacing some of it and relining the other up and getting it so that they'd save time and wouldn't have to have somebody pushing around all over the place on hand trucks. So they modernized it, so to speak, and therefore they were able to produce a gross amount, and the more they produced in the same amount of time, the more money they made, more profit.
Did the quality of the product decline any, you think?
I don't think at that time, but later on, though, when they did move Richard out to High Point, well, I think it started declining shortly after that, so it finally got down to the basic of just what they had to use in order to produce. In other words, say like a buffet chef that goes behind closed doors, they would, whites, they used chip core, which was good in a way. It was better than solid wood, because solid wood would warp, mm-hmm. and crack the joints would eventually over years would begin to separate a little. So that what they did is they'd use chip core, and they would band it with maybe 2 or 3 inch strips all the way around, and glue it to the chip core. Then they would veneer top and bottom of that. Mm-hmm. Well, when hickory later on, they kept doing away with the high processing of stuff, that techniques that really produce good furniture, and they got to on the shelves like that because they were behind closed doors and you couldn't see them unless you opened the door. They just used a plain chip core and veneered on both sides. Didn't even bother to band it or anything. And some of it where the shelves where it was up where you could see it, they'd use the chip core like that, and instead of putting the wood band around it, well, they'd just use they had a abandoned machine that would just glue a plastic band around it, just like you take a board and put a molding around it. Mm-hmm. And they'd use that. But eventually that stuff start coming off. If there's any dampness whatsoever, well, it turned loose. And all you had was a chip core there. It veneered on both sides, but it's just chip core. Hmm. But the tops and things like that were everything that they made, the case ends and things that Red White's made, they banded it with wood all the way around it, so that you had no chip core showing anywhere. And table leaves, tabletops, and buffet tops and things like that, they would put, depending on if it had a scallop edge like this is here, mm-hmm. they'd put a wider band so they'd have room to do the carving and shaping and still stay in the wood line. Instead, so it would never hit the other. But that part, hickory, is still done, because that would be hard to cover up if it was chip core. Mm-hmm. But they cut down the width of it. Where whites maybe might put maybe a 4-inch strip through there, they'd put barely enough to cover this shape right here, mm-hmm. whatever they figured that shape was going to cut. But it would just... This corner here and there that they cut, I think, until it finally it just wouldn't have furniture anymore.
Mm-hmm. When did you retire then?
I retired in May 92.
May of 92. Mm-hmm. And were there rumors going around at the time among the workers that they were going
to? Not at that time, but it was the funniest thing. I thought of that thing afterwards. See, I was probably one of the oldest ones still left. And actually, I was only one in any supervision that still had their own job. I mean, as far as workforce, all the rest of them had been replaced. And when I retired, we had made reservations to fly on Wednesday, the 27th, and I retired on May the 22nd, on Friday. So I retired on Friday, we left on Wednesday going to Europe. And when I retired, they told me, well, my birthday was in January, so I worked and made what I could make, or about what I could make. I worked as late as I could and still make my reservations, that's what I'd, in other words. But I was about at the limit where I could make anyway, I think it was 10,000. 400 or 600, something like that. So when I left down there, they said, oh, you'll be back. I said, no, I won't be back either. And some of them told me that, said, you're the oldest one here now. Said, you're what's holding this place together. Said, they'll have to close down and sell out after you leave. And then the end of the year, they'd already talking about sell it then. I left in May, and by the end of the year, before the end of the year, without just talking about selling. So they started closing out during the first of the year and dwindling down until along about April and May, where this, all that was left was just a skeleton crew left in. Just to get out what was still in there and clean up and have good machinery. And
May of 93.
Mm-hmm. Was you the one who took the picture in the plant?
Pardon me?
Were you the one that took the pictures in the plant?
Oh, no, huh?
I didn't know who took those.
a guy by the name of Bill Bamberger, who lives up in Mebane over on, I think, 4th Street, somewhere near there.
I didn't know who took those.
You never saw him?
No.
See, that's right, you would.
See, he come in after I left.
Retired.
That's why I said, and I think I told you up there when I was talking to you and your boss and Tom's wife, that Alma, that the most of the pictures that was hanging on the wall was the ones that were still there when the plant closed, because a lot of them was cleanup crew, because it showed them where they were cleaning up and showed the machinery and everything all gone, everything just empty rooms and things like that. So evidently he didn't, until they started moving everything out or about to get everything moved out, and then he went and took pictures of what was still there, I guess. But the book I did not had over there, but it had three or four standing lines to look through it, a photo book. I don't know where my pictures in that or not, where that was one he taken, or where it was one that they had collected pictures of before.
Yeah, I think there were more photos that he had taken.
But there had been people come through before and taking pictures in different parts of the plant.
Oh, really?
Even, or 2 or 3 years before that. But I don't know where any of them was. I don't know where they just took them for a newspaper printing, or where it's actually something that maybe was connected with this part of the closing plant. I don't know.
Did they have reporters come through sometime and talk to people?
I think they did, because I remember when I was still working, I've seen papers of different workers in there, pictures in the paper where they'd been interviewed, of how you like your job and how long you've been here and different things like that. But as I say, I think the most of what they've got there is what he'd taken after the plant started closing.
What'd you think of the photos of the opening up there?
Now, I thought the ones was real good, what I saw. But as I say, the book I did not look at, because I hadn't seen that. But there was some standing in line waiting, wanting to see it, and I got to stand back there talking to you and your boss and Alma, and I just decided, well, we just about closed the place anyway. Everybody else was already gone, except about three or four standing back looking at the book. might have been two or three still wandering around in there. Rondo, there'd been enough gone that the caterer had already took the eating and everything out, cleaned that all out before we left. But I enjoyed my work. I enjoyed working there. If I hadn't enjoyed it, I'd have probably quit and went to GE right here behind me. Mm-hmm. In fact, back in 55, 56, somewhere along there, I was offered a job at Burlington. A friend of mine by the name of Ralph Ray was a line foreman at in Western down there. And he had about a dozen people working on him. And he tried to get me to go down there. But I would have had to went at the same time, which they didn't pay that much either, start off pay. I think I was making $1.25 an hour. And he said, I'll guarantee you $1.25 an hour, but he said, you'll have better benefits. And he said, of course, the wages will keep on climbing. And I said, no. I said, we like it whites. I said, we're good friends of the family and all. And I said, it's here at home. I don't have to go anywhere to work. I work here and everything. And some of them jumped about and still in a whole lot worse of shape today than I am by staying there. Mm-hmm. And me and my wife, we, by her being German, she was raised up in during war times. And of course, Hitler started war in 39, and that went on through the middle of 45. And so she was just a real youngster then, and was only 18 years old when I met her. And she was raised up when people tried to save what they made and just use what they had to use. Mm-hmm. And we tried that here, and we've never bought anything that's went in the house. I don't care if it's a refrigerator, electric stove, or whatever, without paying for it. As I said, anything in the house, cars or anything else, we've never paid a penny of interest on anything that we've ever bought in the building of the house or anything we've ever bought since then. Hmm. We figured if it was worth having, it's worth waiting for. So mm-hmm. We waited, we got the money and paid for it. I've got an old white car sitting out there, 65 Falcon that I bought. And a fella had on a lot up here in Mabin. And it belonged to, a lady bought it in Burlington County Ford. And she let it go back, it had 500 miles on it. And she never did make a payment on it. She traded the car in, old car in on it. That was her first payment. I mean her down payment. So he had on his lot up here to set, trying to sell it. Wachovia Bank in Burlington had the car. I went up there looking at it and sort of tried to gee him down a little bit on it. He said, the bank had a loan on it, $1,650. And that's what the woman still owed on. The car, at that time, it shows the difference in the price of the car and price. Now, the car at that time, it had all leather interior on it. Deluxe, what they call a deluxe steering wheel, had the large hubcaps mm-hmm. and white wall tires, and a few extra. And it sold for $2,449. And it's got the 170 engine in it, 6-cylinder, what they call a small 6. Today, my wife went down there to the bank, and he said, ain't no use talking to me. He said, I just told them because they do finance work for me that I'd sit on my lot and if they find somebody want to buy it, I'd send them down there. So she went down there and she told them. And the fellow said, I'm interested in the car. They said, well, I said, good, good, good. I said, we're going to get to sell it. I said, $1,650. She said, I ain't got no $1,650. I said, we got $1,500 saved up in the bank. I'll give you the $1,500 for it. He said, no, can't take it away. He said, look, wait a minute. He went in the back, talked to the manager, and come back out and says, manager says we can't take that. Said, we got to have our $1,650 out of it. She said, well, I got my husband's payroll check here. It's $35 left from it. His paycheck. Said, that's all the money I got. The other said, in the bank and draw out money. And said, $1,535. He went back in there and come back, and the bank manager said, no, I can't take it. She said, well, she said, he said, we'll finance the rest of that, then you can pay it off. She said, no, she said, we built the house, we didn't go in debt for it. We got nothing in the house we went in debt for. We don't even go in, intend to go in debt for this either. She said, this is my top offer, $1,535. And he said, we just can't take it. So she starts, she said, well, I know where I got the car at. She said, I can take it back. I said, well, Peter's had it on his used car lot up here. He said, I'll take the car back where I got it at. So she got to the door. Before she got to the door, he said, wait a minute. So he took off back in the back again. They come back out and said, we'll take it. So he took the $1,535. So she drew out everything we had and paid for that, and we started saving all over again.
Was that one of your first cars?
That's not this night here. It's a little white one. It's got 267,000 miles on it now. I use it just around, run around home or two, the first one back in Forest Town, things like that. Of course, I wouldn't mind starting out from here to Tennessee, and I mean, nothing wrong with it, but running it. It's been banged up a few times. It's got a few dents in it, the bumpers have got rusty on it, but the motor runs, it cranks up a whole lot better than this one I got out. Of course, that's a 65 too, but it's got a bigger motor in it. That's a 200 in that one. Even that, we wasn't about to even finance a couple hundred dollars that we didn't have. Because we figured if anybody eat anything off of their table, they're going to have to work for it. And we weren't going to put it on that. We had to work to put it on ours, and they could work to put it on theirs. So everything we bought, we paid for it when we got it. And I still do. If I want anything, my wife passed away in January '93. But I don't buy anything now unless I pay for it. The best way to do it, the only credit card that I've got anywhere in my pocket is a Citizen book. I do a whole lot of trading in Citizen book. But as soon as the bill comes at the end of the month, well, I write them a check for that. Mm-hmm. Never pay the interest. Penny interest on that either. That's on a credit card I've gotten anywhere.
Is there anything that you'd like to say that you haven't got to say with the questions and all?
No, I don't think so. I think we had a pretty good talk.
Well, I appreciate you doing this, Mr. Galen. Worked out real well.
No, I enjoyed it. And if you can go back and see them, if you want to. If they think it'd be interesting, they're welcome to see him.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely be interested in coming out and looking at those more closely.